Welcome to Credit Union Conversations Podcast with your host, Mark Ritter, a forward-thinking CEO who excels in helping credit unions, small businesses, and real estate investors succeed. Join Mark as he explores current trends, interviews industry experts, and get fresh insights on optimizing your operations and delivering the best possible services to credit union members.
Hello, this is Mark Ritter, your host of Credit Union Conversations and CEO of MBFS, which is hopefully your favorite business lending CUSO out there. Thank you so much for our listeners who subscribe to our show and get it every 2 weeks on your favorite podcast network. We drop our show every other Tuesday, and just about on anywhere you listen to audio shows, you can find us. So today, I'm more nervous than any other show that I have done. And maybe when you're older in life and you see an old principal and you're still nervous that you're going to be in trouble, that's kind of a little bit about how I feel today's show, because I'm talking about NCUA exams, and we're going to try to demystify the process for a little bit and have a little fun with the topic. So joining me today is Mark Treichel. Did I pronounce that correctly?
You did. Yes, sir.
All right. Mark Treichel of Credit Union Exam Solutions. Mark, thanks for joining me.
My pleasure to be here, Mark. And as they used to say when I was at NCUA, I'm from the government, and I'm no longer from the government, but I'm still here to help you.
So you have a fascinating background, and I'll have a whole bunch of questions, but give us a little bit about your background, your history, your origin story, how you got into this whole mess in the beginning, and what you're up to today.
You got it. So I was with NCUA for 34 years, and I started as an examiner, and I ended as the executive director. I moved 7 times for NCUA to various different positions. I was a regional director for 10 years, problem case officer, director of special actions, and it was a great career. Had a lot of fun, loved credit unions. And in June of 2020, I decided to retire. And my plan was to drive around in my Class B RV with my wife and go to concerts. And of course, COVID, I announced my retirement in January, and for 5 months later, and COVID, you know, kind of took off. It kind of took over everybody's world, right? And so we were up in the Adirondack Mountains, and I shifted my plan from kind of driving around in the RV and maybe doing a little consulting to what the heck, let's just consult. And I took 2 months off, decided to launch the business more formally. And I haven't looked back. I'm essentially working full-time assisting credit unions with NCUA. And, you know, so with the positions I've held, I've either held or created all of the, or supervised all of the positions at NCUA up to that point in time that I left. But the real fun part is that the best and brightest at NCUA that I had working relationships at NCUA, when they retire, I say, hey, do you really, I call them up. I say, hey, do you really want to retire, or would you like to help me help credit unions? And as I was saying to a client the other day, it's kind of like, I'm going to date myself, but the record albums, right? There's 5 or 6 songs on one side, and you flip it over, there's 5 or 6 on the other side. It's kind of like playing one album side the whole time, and you flip it over. It sounds similar. It's made, done by the same producers. And we're just looking at the world a little bit differently, because the experts that I have, I've got capital market specialists, the individual who wrote the member business loan rule, the individual who wrote the risk-based capital rule for NCUA, the individual who supervised fair lending exams. We've got about 240, 250 years of NCUA experience, and we're able to tap into that and what we know about NCUA to help our credit union clients. And also, let's see, 2 years ago, I launched a podcast. It's called With Flying Colors, and the name of it comes from Pass Your Exam with Flying Colors, and we give tips on how to achieve that, and I interview folks on that show, and I'm looking forward to inviting you at the end of this show to have you on my show. And then I also, just this year, launched a second podcast called Credit Union Regulatory Guidance, and it's view that one as an audiobook format for credit union guidance. The With Flying Colors gives opinion and advice. The other just is like audiobooks for credit unions. So I'm having a blast. I've had clients call me or my team members their secret weapon. And I've kind of coined the phrase the NCUA interpreter for what we do, because NCUA can say certain things, and in the English language, it means one thing, and in what they're expecting from those words, it can mean a totally a different thing. So that's really what's going on, and I'm really enjoying it. I'm glad to be on your show to chat with your listeners and you.
Well, your member business person is one of my favorite people, and I always enjoyed talking with him. And and we always had him at our CUSO roundtables to pick his brain and have good relationships.
Yeah, he speaks highly of you, Vincent Beaton. Yes,
yeah, and I always. When I first got into this space, it was fascinating because, you know, it was about 23 years ago I got into credit unions, and I have been business lending since day one. And I was at a credit union in South Central PA, about an hour and a half drive from Alexandria. So back then, business lending was a speck on a speck of the industry. And it was the craziest time with examiners because many times it was the first time they have ever seen a business loan. And the industry has just come so far since then in terms of specializations and knowledge. And we always joked because we were so close to Alexandria, we felt like, okay, so we're pretty close to NCUA headquarters. So when they want to really dig into something, we were a pretty big, complex credit union. So they probably sent them to us and just called us or sent the examiner just to try to figure out what the heck.
Sure. Yeah. Proximity can play an advantage and disadvantage sometimes. That's for sure.
We did figure out after a while we were a training ground for examiners. So it actually once we reset the relationship where we could bring people in and show them and train them instead of just slapping files down, it really just changed the dynamics of the whole relationship.
Well, I'll tell you what, that training ground is a real thing. NCUA, they know who does things squeaky clean in every area, right? And when they have new examiners that are moving up the ranks, they will go to particular credit unions to help them learn how to see it done right, especially in commercial loans. So not surprised to hear that.
So you have, if you think back 34 years to a much younger Mark Treichel, and when you look at the industry today, what would completely blow your mind from when you were younger compared to what the industry today? Like, what just didn't you expect for where we are today as a business compared to when you first got there?
That's a great question. But so number one, think about the last time you actually went into your credit union or bank, right? I mean, you used to have to go to the ATM. You used to have to do all your loan documents right there in the credit union. And I've got credit union accounts, I've got bank accounts, personal business, and I can't remember the last time I actually physically went into a branch office. So that's been turned on its head. There's more zeros than there were back then. There's less credit unions. The extensive use of third parties, which is net, it's a good thing. It creates different type of risks that need to be evaluated, but the outsourcing of services like to CUSOs, right? And to commercial lending CUSOs that can do it right. You can go over here, you pick someone that's good, you set up the parameters. I never really envisioned, how that would take off, but it's really blossomed, and that's
CUSOs like myself has been part of some great success stories, and we've also been a part of some of the most spectacular failures.
Yeah, if you do it right, it can be fabulous. And what's the saying? You can risk cannot be destroyed; it can be moved or hidden, right? So just because you've moved it from point A to point B, the risk is still there, and you still need to have the procedures and things in place. But you can raise the bar if you do it well.
Yes, that is absolutely true. So this morning I was listening to the NCUA board meeting. I'm one of the few people that actually listens to it on YouTube. So I don't know if you are one of the 30 some people out there as well, or if you listen to it at some other time.
Yeah, so I do. I had a client call at 11, the NCUA board meeting talk that does, I usually try and listen to the whole thing and then I'll do a podcast right afterwards, but some real client work had to be done today. So I listened to much of the first agenda item, and I heard Tanya Otsuka at her first board meeting. It's a historical day relative to that. So I've attended a couple board meetings since I retired. I used to have to sit right behind the chairman next to the general counsel, and I don't miss the, I mean, that was fun. It was a different view, but I like it at this side of the table.
So we have a new board. And it's the first time I consider the NCUA fairly apolitical, regardless of who appoints it. I think generally everybody's pretty close to the same. I'm sure you have some behind the scenes stories that are different. But where do you think, what are some of the predictions on where the NCUA priorities might be going and what shifts might we notice?
Well, it's a great question. And I've got some stories I could tell, probably some stories I couldn't tell. But the board, they come in ready to do good things for credit unions. And they all have their beliefs, Democrat, Republican, in the middle or not. But the reality here is this will be the first time there have been two Democratic board members in 9 years since Debbie Matz was chair when she left. So it's either been tied 1-1 or two Republicans, one Democrat. Now, the unique situation is Todd Harper has been chairman as a Democrat with Biden in the White House, but he didn't have a second vote. So the reality is, since he's been chair, he had to convince one Republican to do what he wanted. And he was successful in doing that. But I know from my conversations with the folks still at NCUA, and I know from what I know Todd wanted to do when he was the PACA director and I was the executive director, I'm fully expecting consumer compliance and consumer financial protection for him to lean into that. You know, they added some positions in that over the last 2 years, but he didn't have control of the budget. So I'm expecting there to be a bigger footprint in fair lending and all things related to consumer compliance. There have been some news in the industry about some larger credit unions that have had some challenges in that arena. And I think that's going to make him kind of double down relative to that. And he's got a vote that comes from the Democratic side of the banking committee that's going to be very supportive of that. So we're going to see more in that arena. Now, interestingly, last year this week, it's the typical week when NCUA would actually issue their priority, their exam priority letter. And that's not out yet. I was expecting it maybe yesterday, but instead they issued an advisory on liquidity risk separate the same week you would expect to see the whole list of priorities. And so it should be out any day. I'm expecting the top of that list to be consumer protection. I think credit risk is, from what I'm seeing and hearing from credit unions, credit risk is moving up on the list. Interest rate risk will still be on their priority list. Cybersecurity is always there. I'm seeing concentration risk hit real heavily. And now the other thing I'm expecting, at least in the first half of the year, last year or the year before, Chairman Harper proposed a succession planning rule. He did not have a second vote because the other two board members felt that should be done by guidance. So my prediction is probably after CUNA GAC, maybe April, May, that Chairman Harper will bring forward that rule and that we'll have a regulation on succession planning, which, by the way, only impacts federal charters, state charters. NCUA cannot regulate state charters relative to that. And the other thing I'm expecting a bigger push on is climate change type discussions. I know that's a big initiative of the Biden administration. There have been a few words in it in different NCUA publications, but I also know that the Republican board members prevented some certain things from being put into strategic plans and priority letters. So that's my take on where things are likely going to go at NCUA over the next year.
I think their first, second, and third priority should be liquidity.
Well, you know, what is it? Somebody, a quote that I can't remember who said it. It's like liquidity doesn't matter until it matters. And then it's the only thing that matters. It's this nebulous concept until it isn't. And credit unions are really feeling the pinch on that, which likely led to NCUA issuing that advisory yesterday. But with the pandemic, with the rates going up, followed by Silicon Valley Bank, those were like three black swan events, all that impacted liquidity. And it's a big issue out there right now, and will continue to be hit hard by NCUA.
Yeah, not in my, like I said, over 20 plus year career in credit unions. This is the first time where people are actively trying to figure it out. It was always, oh, we need some deposits. Let's turn on the spigot. You know, let's turn off the spigot. We have plenty of money. You know, we'll keep it in a range. It's fine. Where now sometimes you turn on the spigot and it doesn't, the deposits don't come out.
Absolutely. And then on the asset side, a lot of banks and credit unions were a little slow to react on raising rates. And then rates went nowhere. They had all this growth and then they went out longer term on the investments. And as soon as they did that, it's almost like it seemed it was like clockwork. That's when the Fed started raising rates. So their liquidity is either locked in loans that might be a little underwater or oftentimes locked in investments that are underwater, which adds to the intensity of the problem with the supply drying up.
Yeah, we really think from a credit side during the pandemic and post, there was credit quality was the lowest or the highest it's ever been with the just historic delinquency lows. And a lot of people took money out of their reserves. And what I think is happening in the marketplace now is what we're seeing is a little bit of a shift back to what I'll call the norm. Hopefully it kind of stops at the normal range. But when I did speaking engagements last year, I told people, if you haven't gone to your board and told them delinquency is going to shoot up, you need to do that because it's not going down. It can only go up to a normal range.
That's good advice because, you know, a good rule to live by is no surprises and managing expectations and controlling the narrative, all three of those things. So, but the reality is, once it hits rock bottom and with what is going on in the economy, you're going to see it trickle up. And so establishing those expectations is wise.
So you probably have the craziest stories and could write a book about your history of NCUA examinations and relationships with credit unions. I am sure you've had people treat you as the nicest, you know, hey, how you doing? I want to be your friend. We're here for you. And I'm sure that credit unions examiners have probably been stuck in the darkest, coldest room in the credit union with people next door trying to listen in. What's the appropriate relationship and a successful relationship with an examiner going into it? Particularly maybe for somebody, there's the grizzled veteran CEOs. There's no surprises to them. The examiners know them. They know us. But for maybe somebody new, what's the successful relationship like with an examiner?
Yeah. And, you know, yeah, I've been stuck in lobbies, basements, cold rooms, hot rooms, you name it back in the day. But a successful relationship is, you know, it's really treating people with respect. Everybody wants to be treated with respect. Communication, setting, you know, establishing a contact point where they can check in every day with one of the positions that didn't exist in 86 when I started was the chief risk officer at credit union. So a lot of credit unions, especially the bigger you get, you have a chief risk officer who manages the exam flow, which is great, but also give the examiners access to the levels above that. The CEO, you know, should stick their head in and make themselves familiar with the lead examiners. And there was a former NCUA board member, and I don't know where he got the quote, but Mark McWaters, who had a phrase that he used when we were negotiating with the union at NCUA. And he said, familiarity breeds consent. I'll repeat that. Familiarity breeds consent. So let them get to know you. Let them understand you. Let them know how you're ticking. No surprises if you've had the examiner, it's his second or third year or her third year in there. If you are going to enter into a new program, let them know on the front end. Keep them involved. Hey, you know, we're investing in a CUSO. We're going to expand into commercial lending. This is who the relationship is. That familiarity with the topic makes it go smoother when they come on site. So really that, you know, it all comes back to communications. If you got good communications on both sides, things will work out. If you don't have that and the NCUA person is either inexperienced or not the best communicator, take the bull by the horns and be the one who's going to, you know, take the extra 10 yards to make sure the communication excels.
So when I do a loan review and really help out, do some consulting engagements, and particularly if I do a loan review, when somebody hands me a file, I can tell with probably about a 90% accuracy, I can judge the whole program. Because if you don't know where file's at, if it's disorganized, if it consists of three pages and there's no documentation and flow to it, that is a trigger to me. That's a trigger.
Yeah, we're on the same page here. I'll tell you, back when I was an examiner, if it was not a, this is not a commercial loan example, but I've got one of those, is if it was sloppy and I looked at 15 loans and three of them were missing auto titles and I had to search for it, I would do that until I got frustrated. Then I would flip through the file once, and if I didn't find it, I would write it up. It's not here. I couldn't find it. Your files, you know, I wouldn't say your files are messy, but they'd have to go spend their time to see if it was there. Now, on the commercial loan side, something you said that actually Van Vieten says when we're on calls with clients is when he was out doing exams, he would say, hey, show me your best file. And you could tell a lot from what they thought was their best file, because if there were issues with that file that they thought there was best, that set some tone. Now, one thing, I had commercial loan training at LSU University. There was a guy named Willie Stotz. He looked a little bit like Groucho Marx. And he told stories about, you know, foreclosing on a chicken farm and how you had to feed the chickens. And he realized that that wasn't a good loan. And he had a phrase, a rolling loan gathers no loss. But one of the things he taught me was ask them to look at the loans they denied, too. What was it? Show me a file. So show me the best file was Vin's approach. I would say show me the ones you've denied. And, you know, there were at that time, going back to when credit unions were just getting into it, there were times where they said, well, we haven't denied any, but we approved 40 last year, right? So that was, yes. Okay.
Yeah, there's all those little triggers that you can see probably, you know, just like when I walk into a branch and I can look around, and I'm sure examiners have their own tricks to say, oh, yeah, I see this.
Yeah. You're an observer of people as you go through your journey of life, but the more you see, the more you pick up on those subtle nuances.
So, you know, I'm a big fan of small credit unions. And, you know, I really think our industry needs to support small credit unions. But from the examination side, they don't have the full resources. They don't have the expertise. What is it from the NCUA side? Is there a difference between the big, large credit union, or do they hold the small credit union up to the same standard? Or is there a sliding scale? What's the reality?
A great question. And it's kind of a yes and no, because the more resources and economies of scale someone has, the higher expectations you have. The $500 million classification is a complex credit union. The $1 billion credit unions get an exam every year, but it can be focused on governance and bigger things like that. You get into the smaller credit unions, it's more transactional. There's more concern from NCUA's side about segregation of duties because, quite frankly, they might not have the income to be able to segregate duties. So each type creates different risks to the agency, and so they adjust accordingly. And the reality, though, too, is I do every quarter, the only public release of CAMEL data is when they do the insurance fund briefing. And they say, here's where CAMELs are as a percentage of assets. Here's how many numbers there are. And I've watched that religiously since I left, watched it when I was there from a different angle. But it's clear to me that the smaller credit unions get beat up a little bit more on their CAMEL codes. Until about a year ago, when things got real in the economy, there was zero movement in the CAMEL codes on the smaller credit unions because they were already kind of beating them up. And the big ones started taking the hit on CAMEL, and you could just see the numbers going boom, boom, boom. And I'm seeing that in my conversations with clients. So while the expectations are less as far as, you know, you don't need to have four different types of liquidity backstops and your policy can be simpler, they tend to grade a little bit harder on the CAMEL code side of things. Again, until that pendulum swings, and it's swinging. I mean, they're hitting hard on CAMEL right now, everywhere.
So fascinating. Mark, I've really enjoyed this conversation. I'm looking forward to hopping on your show and getting to know you and, you know, helping out where I can. Everybody who listens to us is credit union executives, credit union staff, people in the industry. Tell people where they can contact you.
That's great. Yeah. So my email address is my first name, mark@marktreichel.com, T-R-E-I-C-H-E-L, mark@marktreichel.com. A very easy place to find me is on LinkedIn. I'm on LinkedIn quite a bit. I do a lot of posts on LinkedIn, and you can message me on there, and I check it at least every day. And then if someone wants to give me a call, they can reach me at 407-493-1180. And I look forward to having you on my show. I've enjoyed chatting with you about all things NCUA. And if if someone's got to this point, they like podcasts, and I'll put one last plug in. With Flying Colors, brought to you by Credit Union Exam Solutions and Credit Union Regulatory Guidance. Check them out and subscribe if you like them.
Mark, I've downsized this year and moved out to the country with my wife. And I got to say, when I retire, I hope I'm not as busy as you are. So,
yeah, I'm having fun and I'm busy. But I don't know, some way, I guess I'm a type A personality and I like to keep moving. So
thank you for joining us.
You got it, Mark. My pleasure.
All right. So this is Mark Ritter, your host of Credit Union Conversations. Please listen to us every other Tuesday and subscribe on your favorite platform. And we love to help you out with any business lending needs you have. And thank you and have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Credit Union Conversations podcast. Have a question? Visit markritter.com for more information.